You May Find Yourself in a Beautiful House by Rishrosh. Read by Marianas. Tess and Joel are coming for an early dinner on Sunday, Frank tells Bill, weather permitting. Bill squints at the sun. It's been a cool summer compared to Bill's years on record, but not stormier than normal. Weather is probably an inexplicably polite euphemism for roving swarms of infected targeting idiots who try to navigate the eternal traffic jam on 95. When the wind's right, they can hear the chittering and shrieking all the way in Lincoln, which makes Bill twitch in the direction of the perimeter. It's not precisely a concern, because Bill barricaded the on and off ramps for Tupelo Road and Route 2 during a slow month in year 3, and then went back the next summer and laid landmines. But still. When's Sunday? Bill asks. 3 days. Frank still keeps track of that kind of thing. Not much warning, Bill mutters. Frank leans in, wraps his hand in Bill's hair. It'll be nice, he says, quietly, into the underside of Bill's jaw. Wasn't last time nice? No, says Bill. So nice, says Frank. He plants a kiss on Bill's chin and springs away into the dining room. Did I actually say yes to letting these people in my house again? At any point? Bill asks. I was thinking venison for dinner, Frank calls. Or we could do venison, maybe. They've been eating venison for weeks. The deer population has been out of control ever since the fuckers stopped getting hit by cars. Deer can't find a way through the fence to get at the vegetable plots in town, but they're heavy and stupid enough to trigger Bill's traps while they're trying. He's spent more time than he's happy about of late resetting tripwires and hauling shot-in-the-head deer carcasses to the smokehouse. Frank shouldn't complain. Bill's latest experiments in salt curing have turned out a fairly decent venison charcuterie, and deer liver's a delicacy. Very funny, says Bill. He won't bother setting rabbit traps for Tess and goddamn Joel, and it's too early for turkeys. They'll have venison and like it. Frank spends the next 2 days crouching like a gargoyle over the radio, listening to it play nothing. No news is good news, he tells Bill, clambering out of the cellar. He's excited. He weeds the flower beds and washes the front windows like Tess and Joel, fresh from the broken-down shitscape of the QZ, will notice if the glass is streaky. Bill can't decide whether to sulk or pretend not to sulk, ends up confusing even himself, and goes to fuck around with the fence. That asshole had something to say about my fence last time, he says, when Frank comes out to poke at him. Not this time. He's tested the grounds, cut away spare branches, cut the power yard by yard to restring the tension wire. I'm sure Joel's gonna love your fence, Frank says. After this, you wanna help me trim the hedges? Bill glowers. But he has the chainsaw out already, and he's faster with that than Frank with the clippers, and so he'll trim the hedges. Frank's liable to lose a finger if he tries to use the chainsaw anyway. It's easier when Bill just does it for him. Consider it my birthday present, Frank says. His birthday is at the start of September. Of course, Bill's been working on his real present, willow charcoal for drawing, burned in a paint can in the neighbor's fire pit, because he said once that he missed art, for weeks. But he'll trim the damn hedges, too. On Sunday morning, Frank drags the patio set out to the same corner of the front yard as last time. It's getting warm already, especially in the kitchen with the stove going. By the time Tess and Joel show up around 1 or 2, it'll be sweltering. Bill, starting dinner prep, shoves his hair away from his sweaty forehead. He doesn't want a shower before dinner, but Frank will still feel obligated to try and convince him. He watches Frank come around to the corner of the house, leaning against the siding where Bill has the kitchen windows open to catch a cross breeze. Do you think we should eat in the front yard like last time, or in the back? Because the hydrangeas are blooming, and it's a lot shadier back there, Frank calls. His face appears in the window from the chin up like some kind of strange puppet show. I don't care, says Bill. I know, but let's call it an intellectual exercise. Backyard with better ambiance, or front yard with better sight lines?
Sight lines.
Yeah, I figured. Bill nods and leans back over his work in the damn kitchen. Hey, you need any help in there? Frank asks. Bill is very particular about his mise en place, but sometimes he lets Frank peel potatoes. Today he's not peeling them and they're already washed.
Absolutely not, Bill returns. Go make yourself useful somewhere else.
If you won't let me cook, you have to let me wash all the dishes.
Bill will clean up as he goes. We'll see about dishes.
Frank salutes and vanishes from a square of the outdoors with a laugh that carries in one window and out the other. Bill is making venison bourguignon. He's got the teal-covered copy of Mastering the Art of French Cooking propped open with a trivet next to the stove, the pages spattered with old sauce and covered in penciled notes. Some of the substitutions are still workable. Others, parsnips for carrots, for example, or the addition of egg noodles, less so. In an ideal world, they'd have bacon. And they ran out of dried mushrooms 2 years back. But venison's an easy swap for beef with a little more fat. He'll serve it with a Rioja, which Frank will insist on putting in the crystal glasses from last time, even though the bowl is the wrong shape. Frank polished them last night when he was going over all the first floor furniture with wax and a rag. He always complains about how the dark wood and the brass shows dust, but they both like the Federalist style, heavy and beautiful. "It smells great in here," Frank says, clattering into the kitchen with his shoes on. "It's just the aromatics." Onion and garlic sprouted and resprouted for years from the scraps he'd had on hand in 2003, time that's been well established in the windowsill herb garden for longer, a heavy red in the braising liquid. "Well, they're called that for a reason. Where's the nice vase, the one with the blue and white pattern that I like?" "Hall closet," Bill says. He turns to point and catches Frank striding through a beam of buttery sunlight, sweaty around the neck, holding handfuls of hydrangeas and lilies and overblown white roses from the trellis on the garage. Clearing his throat, Bill says, "You're the one that put it in there." Frank rolls his eyes. "Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Anyway, I thought it would be nice to have some flowers if we're going to sit out front again. A little centerpiece, you know?" "Yeah, nice. Come here." Bill grabs Frank by the hem of his shirt and reels him in for a kiss. Bill's hands are all garlicky and Frank's are full of flowers, so it's just a quick brush of mouths. Frank pulls back and smiles an inch from Bill's face. He smells like sweat and grass and lilies, fresh in the warm, heady, wine-filled kitchen. "Don't distract me," Frank says. "I'm getting that vase." When he pulls away, he leaves behind a gentle drift of rose petals down Bill's front. The bourguignon is resting covered in a low-temp oven, the Rioja is uncorked and breathing, and Bill and Frank are on the front porch waiting for the party from the QZ. Frank had pinned them down for a moment in the foyer, thinking it might be nice to have someone ring the doorbell, but Bill talked him out of it on the grounds of there being no goddamn reason to let these people back in their house. In exchange for combing his hair, Bill has received permission to wear his thigh holster. The first proximity alarms sound, and then the two figures swim out of the hot light at the main gate. "Now I think we should have done a green salad or something," Frank says under his breath. "I don't think they get vitamins in the QZ." "With what greens?" Bill says. "Cutworms got their lettuce in the spring, and they didn't have the time or seeds for a second planting." "Well, we could have figured something out," Frank says, and then Tess and Joel are close enough to hear them, and Frank starts waving and helloing. Tess waves back, sunburnt and beaming, with a line of fresh black sutures crawling over the cap of her shoulder. Joel lurks a foot behind her and scowls. Frank throws his arms wide and shepherds them into the shade. "Welcome, welcome back. I hope the trip out wasn't too bad." "Oh no, totally quiet. This is a couple days old," Tess says, waving a nonchalant hand at the wound. Joel doesn't say anything. Tess goes in for a one-armed hug, and Frank carefully avoids her shoulder. Bill also doesn't say anything. "I brought you guys something," she says, setting her backpack on the porch steps and rummaging through it. "Brought you two courses of amoxicillin and some ammo," says Joel, "if you're still interested." "We don't need to talk business just yet, do we?" Tess says, raising an eyebrow at Joel to make clear the command behind the question. She keeps him on a tight leash. "I'm the one fucking carrying the goods," says Joel. "Yeah, yeah, you're very strong," Tess coos. She pats his hand absently and then withdraws a bottle from her backpack. It's a white wine, the kind of thing that would have cost $3 before cordyceps and almost certainly hasn't been improved by half a decade stowed away in whatever suboptimal storage conditions a QZ smuggler can manage. Tess offers up the pink-labeled bottle and says, "It's been a long time since I had to think about a gift for my host, but..." Frank nearly chortles with joy. "Oh my god, no, this is so lovely, you shouldn't have. This is his dream, his best-case scenario. He has been given the opportunity to host. It's play-acting, but familiar enough to be comfortable." "It's probably dog shit, but it seemed impolite to come empty-handed," Tess says. Joel grumbles, "Not empty-handed." Frank and Tess ignore him. "No, no, thank you so much. Look, we have a cooler set up in the kitchen. Let's go see if we can chill this sucker." No, Frank, come on, Bill says uselessly, as Frank sweeps Tess and the wine inside, as he promised he would not do. Fuck, says Bill. Joel eyes him, unsympathetic. The ammo, Joel says. It's buckshot. Got some other options coming later, maybe, but buckshot for now. Bill nods. Buckshot works. You like venison? Joel shrugs. Got some jerky you can take with you, Bill says. Down payment on the other options. How much jerky are we talking? As much jerky as you fucking want. And they shake on it. The end.